But first, it lasted for about 6 months, and today, a federal jury found former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick guilty of 24 counts of racketeering, bribery, and extortion. Now, you might remember Kilpatrick previously spent a year in prison for lying under oath about a sexting affair he had with his chief of staff and for violating his probation. Here we are today, and it's not going to be just a few weeks or a few months. The mayor, the former mayor, is going to be facing some serious prison time. We have with us Sarah Swick. She's been covering the case for Michigan Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lester. It's great to be here.
And Larry Dubin, he's professor of law at University of Detroit Mercy, is with us as well. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Lester.
So they deliberated, the jury that is, deliberated for 14 days before reaching a verdict, two dozen guilty counts. What exactly was the mayor doing?
Basically, the mayor, his father, Bernard Kilpatrick, and Bobby Ferguson, who was a longtime high school friend of Kwame Kilpatrick's and also a city contractor while Kilpatrick was in office, they were accused by the federal government of running what they called the Kilpatrick Enterprise, which, to put it simply, was basically they used various ways, various schemes to enrich themselves using Kilpatrick's office as mayor. And so the big charge here was a racketeering conspiracy or RICO charge on this so-called kind of overall corruption. And Kwame Kilpatrick was found guilty on that count, and Bobby Ferguson was found guilty on that count. But Bernard Kilpatrick, the jury could not reach a verdict.
Yeah, Bernard Kilpatrick being Kwame's father. Yeah, the only thing he was convicted of was tax evasion. Is that correct?
That's right. He was only found guilty of one count of the tax evasion, yes.
So, Larry, we've got racketeering, extortion, corruption, bribery, mail fraud, wire fraud, false tax income, tax evasion. How surprising are these decisions?
Well, this was, I think, a more difficult case to predict than it seems now that we know what the jury has done. It was a complicated case, three defendants, many, many counts, months of evidence. Under those circumstances, and also, I have to say, I think for the benefit of the defense going into it, a fairly diverse jury of in terms of sex, in terms of race, all of that speaks well, I think, for the way the system operates. So when you have a complicated case, that generally is going to be of some benefit to the defendant because they want to show reasonable doubt. And the more complicated the case, the more the attention of the jurors is spread around, and there's the potential for reasonable doubt to emerge. I think that was definitely a benefit for the defense. I think here, though, there were so many witnesses that even though you can always impeach government witnesses of the type that testified for having a bias, which these defense lawyers certainly did. The cumulative effect, and Sarah would be in a better position to speak to this because she was in the courtroom, but I think the cumulative effect is that whereas you can destroy some witnesses' credibility, overall, perhaps all of them cumulatively come forth with more trustworthiness than individually maybe some of them would have otherwise.
Sarah, as the verdicts were read, I'm told that former Mayor Kilpatrick seemed stunned.
He did seem stunned. He almost, he was kind of looking down, at it, almost holding his hands as if he was praying, and then at other times looked around just almost bewildered, kind of angry. Bobby Ferguson was a bit more impassive, and Bernard Kilpatrick was, when they finally read the very last charge, the only one, the tax charge of which he was found guilty, he sort of had a look of surprise on his face. But yeah, Kwame Kilpatrick, he seemed stunned.
So afterwards, I understand that Bobby Ferguson made some kind of statement of faith, saying that God was with him, that he still held his faith was strong. What did the former mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, have to say?
He has not said anything as of this time. He has come out. All three defendants came out of the courtroom, quickly got in the car. Bobby Ferguson did sort of make that one utterance. But other than that, they were silent. And the jurors, looking at Professor Dubin alluded to this already, but it was a very complex case. And it certainly appears both in terms of when you look at how the verdict came out in terms of which counts they reached a guilty verdict on, which counts they could not reach a verdict on, and which they found not guilty. It appears that the jury was, you know, there was a lot of concern. This is such a complex case. You know, is the jury going to be able to follow this avalanche of evidence that the prosecution presented? Are these government witnesses trustworthy? And then there were sort of also these lingering questions of perhaps race and whether that would factor at all into, you know, there being one or two jurors not wanting to convict any members of the Kilpatrick Enterprise. But looking at the verdict all the way through, hearing what jurors had to say afterwards, it appeared that they were very conscientious, very thorough, and took this on very much in sort of the objective, legally minded way that one would want a jury to approach a case.
Well, I would even say that this jury, I think, was very unusual in that they asked very few questions of the judge. They weren't the type of questions that indicated one way or another how the deliberations were going. I think that there was some expectation that perhaps due to the lengthy deliberations that there would be signs that they were having difficulty reaching a verdict. They never showed that. This is a complex case. If you look at the instructions in this case alone, for 12 individuals without law degrees to understand RICO and all of the various elements of these charges, which they're required to find beyond a reasonable doubt, is a significant task. And for them to do this so methodically and end up with unanimity almost across the board is quite remarkable.
Now, minutes after the verdict, Mayor Dave Bing put out a release saying, "Glad this piece of history is behind us. Let's go ahead and write this, you know, write this city and keep it going the way it is." You know, we have these big corruption trials every once in a while. You think it sends out a warning to all the politicians, hey, you know, watch your P's and Q's. But then we end up with another case like this. Do you think there's a message here from this jury to other politicians in this and other states and cities about this kind of behavior?
I think so in one sense. I mean, I think the locally of interest here is that the FBI is investigating alleged corruption of Wayne County Executive Robert Fracano's administration, and a couple of people have already gone to trial and pleaded in some corruption cases related to that. So it's possible that within town here, that this could just almost, I'm not going to say this is a place setting, this is obviously a major event, but it's possible that there are more sort of corruption trials and sort of similar allegations of wrongdoing yet to emerge in court.
Professor?
Well, I think that the types of convictions, and especially using the RICO law to convict the former mayor and Bobby Ferguson, shows that prosecutors now, I think across the country, are very clear about wanting to go after public corruption. And we've seen convictions in the state of New Jersey. We saw a recent one down in New Orleans. I don't know if they're deterring other politicians, but it's certainly sending out a very clear signal that prosecutors, and especially U.S. attorneys, are very willing to use laws that, when public officials are found guilty, will put forth the worst type of prison sentences that are available for those crimes.
Well, we'll leave it with one point. Reporter Chris Gouts did a tweet earlier today saying, you know, the average federal prisoner makes about 40 cents an hour. Given that Kwame Kilpatrick's had some difficulty paying back the city of Detroit money he already owes them, this might exacerbate that a bit.
I think that there's no question about that. But then on the other hand,
maybe the least of his worries.
It seems questionable that he was intent on repaying that restitution that he owes in the first place.
There's an additional issue here, and I don't know how it will impact Bobby Ferguson, but the consequences of civil action, of forfeiture action on any property that can stem from a RICO conviction is something that perhaps will have a serious financial impact on his resources.
To put it succinctly, I don't know that Kwame Kilpatrick ever would have paid back the restitution money he owes to the city of Detroit, and even if he was able to, it probably wouldn't help the city a whole lot at this point anyway.
That's Sarah Swick with Michigan Radio, and we've also heard from Larry Dubin, who's professor of law at University of Detroit Mercy. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good to be with
you. Thank you.